but part of the very one that was doing the thinking. We spent the whole services, all of these, week after week, and this is not number 13, trying to drive that part home about Genesis 1, 26 and 27, the creation of man, and that that man was part of God. Amen. Not just a human element brought into existence. That's Genesis 1, 26 and 27, which was not just in the mind of God, but part of God. All right, because he said, let us make man in our own image and let them have dominion. All right.
That's right.
And he called, and later he called their name Adam.
Amen.
Right. All right, which means the beginning and the doing. All right. So it wasn't just one person he was thinking of there, of Adam and Eve, because we've proved that part by trying to come through in the message. And I hope you followed it, that we don't think too much about Eve, but Eve had to be in the original creation as much as Adam, all
right?
Because she was a part of him, and she was there even after Adam was placed in the Genesis 2 man, you know, the flesh man, that the 1, 26 and 27 was put over into that. Eve was still in theophany, all
right?
See, then she had to come forth from there into human flesh, you know, like Adam. And she came from Adam in literal human flesh, and she came from God by the original impartation of life. All right? Now, so then in thinking about it, we were talking about it like this. It's not God like 149, excuse me, Church Age book. It's not like God's not like a man with a blueprint that he draws up what he's going to do. He doesn't have to do that. All right. I gave it to you in the message, and we'll reread it after a while, where Brother Branham said it was talking about a vision of what he wanted in his mind. You say, well, now, and I thought about this the other day, you say, do you mean God has visions? Well, I will remind you that Jesus said, what? I do nothing until I see a vision. You say, oh, you missed that wording. No, that's what Brother Branham said. He said, I do nothing unless there's a vision. He had a vision to do. He had a vision of going on and then coming back and raising Lazarus. There was a vision part to that. Well, then there's no problem to think about the vision of God. All
right?
Now, we know that our thoughts, Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9, our thoughts are not like God's thoughts. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts until our thoughts are not even in the picture. All right? Then we got down to bring in one of the last quotes that we brought, and Brother Branham was talking about it, so I put it back into the message to use it tonight. But that's a masterpiece where he's talking about the vision, where he said the reality of what was a vision in him was in his thinking. And what was that talking about? He had in his mind what he wanted, and he wanted to make man in his own image. He wanted to make something in reality of what was a vision to him and what was in his thinking. All right? Then in doing that, see, we know for a certainty that it's not just God setting up thinking about something. And it's not to just say in his mind, because everybody's in his mind. All right? But being a part of the mind itself. Like I've always told you, I don't want to be just what God thinks of. I want to be a part of the thinker. There's a whole lot of difference in that. I want to be a part of the one that's doing that. Because that, to me, is the scripture we read in Philippians. Is that let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And that's not his human brain. That is eternal life or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Bringing it down to you and I of being that part. And then when it says that, see, because he had that mind, you know, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? because he was God. So he had no problem of any of his thoughts, right? So then that mind that's in you and I is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, eternal life into our soul, bringing us into that position. All right. Now we want to pick up our thought tonight and try to take it on, because we're talking about the thoughts of God, remember? The thoughts of God are eternal. All right? Now, that doesn't, as I said, make everything eternal that he thought of. But he can't change that thought. Once he said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, no matter what Jacob done, couldn't have turned him away, and no matter what Esau tried to do, would not change his mind. Why? Because he'd already thought it, and remember we were given that once he thinks it and speaks it, there's no way, I gave you a bunch of quotes the other day there, there's no way that the devil and all of his demons can stop the plan of God. There's no way it can change it. The devil can't do it. It don't matter what we think of this, that, or the other. There's no way that Satan can change God's plan, because he's going to have it. All right, now that's what we want to deal. That's the reason I put that message there, of the positive thoughts of God in his mind, as to not being like our thoughts that we could change them, you know, and do a situation and do it. What he thought of in the beginning was real, and that's it. You say, well, then, Brother Dale, if he thought of me being lost, will I be lost? If he thought of you being lost, you will be lost. Well, then there's no need of me trying. Well, you know what? You just prove the point. Because if you're not willing to try, he gave you a free moral agency. So then who's making the point of us being lost? We are. You know what? And it's like I tried to preach a message, I remember years ago, about something that I know what Brother Brown says about Satan put us in the pawn shop. I know the quote, okay? But I was trying to make a point out of it that, you know, really we put ourselves in the pawn shop. When we reach the age of accountability, you said, well, the devil made me do it. Well, I don't blame him for everything. You may do it. You may try to cop out, you know, and blame it all on him, and I don't do it. I think you and I have the biggest portion of it. I think he's gone on vacation. That he doesn't even have to fool with us. Because he's let us be so intellectually brained in our mind until he doesn't have to do anything anymore. But we put our own selves in the pawn shop. Because we made the choice to be lost. So don't blame Adam and Eve for it. And don't blame God. All right. Now, but what I want us to think on, I want us to think about something that is very valuable to me in thinking about the Word of God and how great it is and how wonderful it is and how perfect it is and the things of His Word and how that He can't change it. It's got to be true. But we just got to find it to make sure we got it lined up the way he says it. Because now we get our own ideas. We say, well, the Bible says it. Yeah, the Bible said Judas went and hung himself. Now I'll take another scripture and say, you go do likewise. Now what are you going to do? It's silly in our mind that we allow it to work so much, I guess is the best way to say it, because, you know, we allow it to be done. But I want you to think about now, to keep your thought into the mind, or thinking about in God's mind, as being not just him sitting down thinking about it, but it being his very thoughts. We've been through message after message of the thoughts and the attributes of God. and, you know, tying it together, that those thoughts are his attributes, and his attributes is part of him, and he never gained any attributes coming down. He always had those attributes. See? All right? See, then all we got to do is just line up. That was kind of the last thought I put on my notes, is we just got to find the plan and purpose that God has, and then let's fall in line.
Right. Right.
You know. Well, we know what the plan and purpose is. So let's just try to fall in line with it. So let's pick up some thoughts, and I want you to, it may be surprising in a minute if we can get that far. Okay. But bear with me. Go ahead and pull up number one, brothers, and let's just read what Brother Brown said on a message called I Know My Redeemer Liveth, 1958. E13. Look, God's purpose can never be defeated. There's nothing can defeat it. So how happy ought we to be resting upon that beautiful revelation of the Word of the Living God, that there is neither things present nor things that can come. There's no sickness, no sorrow, death, no pearls, no nothing can separate us from the purpose of the Living God. Now, you can't be done. We if there's anything way to do it, we're going to be separating ourselves. It's the only way it can be done. It's our problems. It's not just taking what he says. Now look what he said. What God has imagined in his mind, what God has purposed in his heart to bring to pass, there's no demon, there's no power, there's nothing can ever separate God's great, immortal, and watch me, eternal plan. It must be as God has said. Now that's the thought for tonight. The thought for tonight is the eternal plan. Yes, but Brother Dale, the way you're sounding, you're bringing it out and coming down hard and strong about predestination, and you're making it like that nobody's got a choice. We haven't even got to earth yet where we can make one. I'm still up in heaven.
Amen.
I was listening the other day to Brother Branham, and he was bringing about the old black man, you know, the first one he ran into, and said he started off on the up in heaven and said brought him down the horizontal rainbow, and he said, where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy?
Yep.
You know what? Brother Branham enjoyed that. He refers to that a lot. Why? Because the man had something. All right? So let's think about it. Think about an eternal plan. Now, the best way we can talk about an eternal plan, it just means it's eternal and that's it. It's not something can be added to if it's eternal. All right. So he had an eternal plan. Well, then, if he had an eternal plan, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm to be saved or not. Well, you're the one making the choice.
Right. That's right.
It's not God.
Amen.
He gives us the choice.
Amen.
So you got to make your own choice of your own thinking. All right. Now, an eternal plan that can something eternal cannot be added to or taken from.
Right.
So if he had an eternal plan, see, then it's going to come forth.
Yeah. Amen.
Huh? Yeah, but you're leaning too much on that old predestination doctrine. Well, we ain't got down to the foreknowledges and talking yet, so just bear with me, you know, and think about the things that we're talking about. Have I brought any doctrine yet that seems to be anti-message or anti-scriptural? If it is, come tell me about it. Because all I've been doing is dealing with the fact of what was in God before the foundation of the world. That he had all of those attributes within him when he was self-existing. Right? See, then he was already a father. He was already a healer. He was already a savior. No, he couldn't be a savior because he wasn't unlost. You're making him become a savior. You're making it like, well, something happened. I got to change the course. You're not talking about the God I'm talking about. That could never change his mind about his word. You're changing his mind. Well, it could. No, but I've got to do something, you know. Yeah, that's the way we think. But it won't work. Why don't you get in your mind sometimes about the great eternal God and think about how great he is? All right? See, then let's talk about it. As we read in Paul here, that he speaks of a mystery. And he said there was a mystery there that we read there in Ephesians. All right? Now, a mystery is something that has not been made known. All right? And even after it's made known, because you tie mystery to the word revelation, the same thing. All right? That it's, even though it's made known, a supernatural element will remain despite the mystery. The fact, despite the fact that it's revealed to you. There'll be things that are left. Don't worry about it. I thought we believed the prophet said that we'd even get a message of cheer down to the endless ages after this world was over with. Do you think our little peanut brain understanding of what we have now is all there is of God? This is just enough to get us started. We wouldn't be able to. It's just like it is with what? No man can call Jesus the Christ, what? Right. Except it be by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? Right? And see, are we trying to limit him that way, or what are we? But let's think about it. That this great eternal God he wanted to let himself be expressed.
Right.
Now, let's read that and just pick up a few little thoughts. Go ahead to number 2, which is Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And watch what he says. Now, God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now, back in the back part of God's mind. Now, that's beyond anything we can comprehend, right?
Right?
So it would take a prophet to have to go back into the mind of God and bring it out.
Right?
Okay. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. Right? Now, he was trying. That looks like, well, he didn't, and was going to achieve. That's not a choice then. And he had a motive in doing it. In order to let himself be expressed. Because first there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. But he actually wasn't God at the time because God is an object of worship. That's just our wording. And there wasn't nothing to worship him. So what did he do? He made angels and they worshiped him. All right? Now, so think about it. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. Now what did he say back up above there? In order to let himself be expressed. Now, look at all the attributes that God has. And look at, we'll just take a few right here. And in him was love. That would be one to cover the whole vast coverage of all things, right? Huh? In him was to be Father. In him was to be Son. In him was to be a Savior. In him was to be a Healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in him. They were in God. All right. Now, whatever attribute you could think of, place it within that paragraph. in your thinking, that whatever you would think about him as to be, remember, he had a motive in order, a motive in doing it, in order to let himself be expressed. Now, so whatever you want to put there, Father, Healer, Son, Savior, whatever, these attributes were, we see already expressed, they were in God to begin with. All right. Now, those attributes being in him, now, as I said, the reason I'm putting that, because when we get on over just in a few minutes, the Lord willing, we're going to pick up something that will seemingly shock the point, but I want you to think about it. That no matter what attributes you can think of, put it in the eternal God as already being there, but not made manifest.
Right?
Amen. See, just not being made manifest. All right. Now, go on down to where we got, what we got, number 105. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. I love that. Now, you know what goes on down below here, and I'm not going to try to express anything, just plainly say, you know what goes on down below there where Brother Brown talks about under our seventh mystery. And the reason I love that is because when you do read over there in Revelation 10, and it comes down to verse 7, I believe it is, what does it say? In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery. It does not say mysteries. Come on, it says mystery. Because there is one mystery that will tie up every mystery together into a bundle. Right? That's the great mystery that we're talking about. All right? Now, watch. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery, and that's what I want to speak on the church this morning. The hidden mystery that God, that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how that, watch, I love this one. And how that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. How wonderful a man could speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, we see how it's unfolded it all the way down to the millennium, the future home, the things. That's why I enjoyed Brother Joe Green last Wednesday when he was speaking about, you know, positive attitude, faith. I love people with positive attitude. I hate somebody that, well, I don't know. I'll try to do that, you know. Everybody wonders, well, how in the world, Brother Dale, did you ever learn to do all kind of carpenter work, wiring and plumbing and stuff like that when you never went to any school? You know how I learned? I learned because the fact I used to pay people to do it, and they goofed up so much till I just decided I'd start trying to do it myself. And you know what? I wound up doing a pretty decent job of it, even bragging on myself. But it'll work. Richard thought I was going to burn his house down one time because I was trying to backfeed some power into his house, and he was screaming I was going to burn his house down. I said, just calm down. You know, I know what I'm doing. But listen, down to this present hour, there is no tomorrow. Do you enjoy that with Brother Joe? There is no tomorrow when we get Darius today. No tomorrow. There's no yesterday. It's done past. Let's live in a present tense time. Let's live where the Bible said, he that believeth that God is. Present tense. All right? See, it's unfolded down to where we are right now. All right? Where we're living right now. It's unfolded down to that part, if you're listening to what he's saying. And he says, we'll understand clearly, I believe, what is being done. All right, listen. God had a plan, had a purpose, and a hidden mystery. It was eternal, because we read that from, I know my Redeemer liveth. And what a wonderful thing it would turn out to be. And to see it if we would look at it correctly. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says the people without a what? Vision. What happens? Perish. People without a vision perish. Now, if you can't follow that, go on your website and look up these guys that's turning against Brother Branham and calling him wrong and doing all the things. If you can't read that with common sense and to see that they've lost their vision. They had a vision to begin with. They had their thoughts and they were running good and great brothers, but now they have no vision, so they perish. Without a vision. What is your vision? Now, I don't mean openly to see it unfold. No. What is your vision? What is your thoughts? Why are we here 50 years since the prophet left? And people thinking then they wouldn't go make it till the next week. And they done some outlandish things to show they didn't believe it, right? And then we laugh at Jim Jones and the situations that took place in life. But listen, what about it? Let's read that one where he talks of masterpiece. Go ahead with number three, where he talks about this. And he's talking about, said, now let's turn the page of Michelangelo and close the book. And let's open another book and read of the great sculptor, the Almighty, who before there was a world and before the foundations was laid. Now watch him. Where's he at? Before there was a world and before the foundations was laid. He had in his mind what he wanted. He just didn't have a thought. He had in his mind what he wanted. Look what he wanted. And he wanted to make man in his own image. Watch. He wanted to make something in reality of what was a vision to him, what was in his thinking. You see, he wanted to make man. When did he make man? When is he talking about making that man? When did he make the Genesis 1, 26 and 27 man? He created the flesh of the human element that we call Adam on the sixth day. And even in the writing out of the scriptures, you got 6 days of creation, and then you drop to, when you do, you hit the 126 and 27. And that's in the rest of God. And that goes back that when did he create this spiritual man? Before the foundation of the world. Not as a creation, but as an impartation of his own life. Are you following me? See, then you can't accuse me of saying, well, you're taking sides of this, you're doing this, that on predestination. We ain't even got down to the earth yet. We're still like the old black man. We're running around up in heaven. We're coming down the horizontal rainbow. I've been enjoying it. I don't know where you have or not. You know, some of you think it's just dried up and dead and all like that, but that's your business. I'm just having me a good time. Because I think about the Word of God. Now, what about this man? We've given these, but what about this man? And look what Brother Branham calls him. Go ahead with number four. And you'll see all these mark out if you could see my notes. And you'll see Joe and him having to jump backwards and forwards. Because I try my best to cut down as much as I can to keep from it being boring and giving you too many quotes, because if you're not going to believe one quote with the fact of knowing that Brother Dale's got it laid on his desk, if you want some more, I got plenty of them laying there. If you're not going to believe it, well, that's just one place he said that. Well, you're the one that's slowing this whole thing down. Right? You're the one that's slowing it down, not me. I'm wanting to just give you the quote and say, there's what the prophet said it, let's move. You know, let's go. Look what he says. Questions and Answers, 1953. He's asked the question, now let us, who, Father and Son, make man in our own image. Now, if a man was made something like that little sacred light yonder, or something like that, it could not be seen, which is a spiritual being. He manifested or unfolded himself a little more in more to make a trinity of himself by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here was God unfolding himself now down into, let us make man, which was his son, an offspring from him. He desired to make a man, right? But how did he desire to make the man? Just make the man. We just have a man. We make a man. We just, you know. The man was to be an offspring. All right? Man in her own image. He was a supernatural being. And let him have dominion over the cattle of the field and so forth. Right? Now, a supernatural being. What he wanted to do to bring the vision forth. And the vision, and what was his plan and purpose? What was he trying to achieve? We look at it as being healer, savior, redeemer, things like that. We don't like that son that Brother Branham puts in there, you know. We get a little messed up in there when Brother Branham, like he said there, would make a man, make father, make a son. Something like the beginning that he was. Something like the theophany man that he was. A supernatural being. We don't like to deal with the son because that throws us to a point of having to think. How could it be a son? Well, I want to ask you a question. How can it be that that being that was brought into existence of 126 and 27 could be anything other than a son? May I ask you that question? How could it be anything other than a son? Yes, but sons has beginnings and sons has this, and they'll have endings. And we don't believe in eternal sonship, but we believe in eternal Godship. May I quote you that one? That's a direct quote from the prophet. We don't believe in eternal sonship, but we believe in eternal Godship. Who was the Son that created all things? According to Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, John 1, Ephesians, I believe it's right, 3 and 9, Jesus Christ created all things. And there was not anything made that was made that he didn't make. Is that summing up all of that? And you know what? He was called a Son of God. But he wasn't a son like a second person. He was God made manifest in another form. When the Logos that came out from God, as the prophet would call it, the Son of God, what did he say it was? He said it's just God in another form. Right? It's just God in another form. But he's an offspring from God. An offspring. Go ahead to number 5. The identified masterpiece of God. He turned our thoughts from Michelangelo. God Almighty, who in the beginning, before there was a day or a dawn or of a day, before there was an atom or a molecule, God in his mind had man, what a man should look like. I know you don't like for me to stop, because when I stop, it's always something to try to help you, but it generally hinders you. So if man was made a man, what was God? I leave that for you to think about. If God was if man was made in the image of God, even if he's just made to look like him, what is God? Yeah, but God is not real until he come in flesh. Sorry. I thought Moses saw him and saw the back part of a man. I thought in Hebrews about 7, is it 7:4, where it's talking about Melchizedek, and it says the man. The man. But see, is your God real? That's my problem with people, is trying to get them to see how real God is.
That's right.
All right, but look. God in his mind had man, what a man should look like, what he should be, and what he should act like. And he wanted that man, what? To be part of him. Yep. So he made man in his own image. In the likeness of God created he man. Oh, when God in the beginning made this masterpiece, something that reflected his thoughts. So, all right. This man was an offspring of God. This man was part of God. This man he had back there. Go ahead to number 6. Questions and answers on Hebrews. What do we do? Well, my dear sainted brother, my dear sainted sister, before the foundation of the world, when God created you in his image, or created the man in his image, and created the woman in the image of the man for the glory of the man, he made you a theophany just like himself. When he said, let us to the creatures that he had made, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, a theophany. God had never become flesh yet. He was in a theophany. So now what did he make? A theophany. Man. Right? Did he ever mention that while he was here? Go ahead to number 7. Divine Healing, 1954. Jesus told his disciples, I knew you before the foundation of the world. Before the world began, he knew it. All things was made and ordained there. We're just working according to the scales. The schedule, rather. Jeremiah 1:4, I believe it is, or 4:1. I forgot now. I think it's 1:4. God told Jeremiah, I said, before you was even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Is that right? How did he have anything to do with it? It isn't. You're born that way. Now, you agreed with me a few weeks ago when I mentioned a few things that I would get to on speaking about how the prophets were predestinated. Not just in God's mind. The prophets were predestinated. Well, now, if the prophets were predestinated, just remember, those prophets in the Old Testament were not in the body of Christ. And if they were predestinated from God eternally to bring the word of the age, what about a people to live that word? Is that?
That's right.
Okay. Go ahead with the next one, number 8. Don't question and answer it on Hebrews, but it's a different 8:48. Now, there you are. That's the way we are here. We come from a higher being. In the beginning, we were in the image of God. The veil in the darkness keeps us from knowing it now. But Jesus told his disciples he was with them before the foundation of the world. See, we were. We can't know it now, but you was in the beginning. And if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Hallelujah. And then we move into this theophany that we once lived, so we can eat and shake hands, and the souls under the altar crying, how long? Now, if you're reading what he just said, you move into this theophany, what we were once lived. All right? Remember, we're still talking about eternal life. All right? Who is this Melchizedek? He said, not your being here. So we're not dealing with any fleshly things. We haven't even come into the natural creation yet. That will begin in the Sunday services, one of the two. We will talk about the natural creation of mankind and bring it into this that we can see. But we're staying here as a plan and a purpose of God that he had before the world, that he was going to have offspring. Now, if he was a father, remember I clipped that a little bit about 4 weeks ago? That I was talking about that before the world ever begun, he was already God because the angels worshiped him, and that made him God. In manifestation. I clipped it a little bit and didn't say much about it because I love to do that, and then one day just lay it on you and let you think about it, hoping that you'll remember it. Now, we read many times that he was a father. Well, he didn't have to wait until mankind come into the world to be a father. The Genesis 1:26 and 27 man made him the father before the foundation of the world. Are you with me? He didn't have to wait until he created something natural in flesh, because the natural in flesh is not the exact image of God, is it? May look like and be that, but it's not that. What's the exact image of God in likeness? A supernatural being. The Word.
Right.
And see, before the foundation of the world, then, if we wouldn't back there, if our names, may I quote it, where you'll at least agree with this, the prophet said, if our names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, it'll never be written there. You agree what he said?
Right.
Well, if you agree with what he said, then there's got to be one thing about it. There had to be a record. There had to be something took place back there. And see, when he brought this offspring, this 1:26 and 27 man into being, that made him father. He doesn't have to do anything else. That made him father in manifestation. Because that's the image he wants. It don't matter about this. The big, fat, ugly, pretty, round, skinny. This ain't what he's talking about. This is not the image and likeness of Almighty God. Yet I do believe that he was a man. All right.
Amen.
But if you're getting the point what I'm talking about, the 1:26 and 27 man was made in the exact image because it's exactly him made manifest in another form. Now, if you agreed a while ago that the Father, that Brother Branham, I'll emphasize it, where he said, there he was. He said, the Father was sitting there, just paraphrasing. He said, then out from him goes the Logos, the speech. Go back to questions and answers on Genesis and listen. And he said, out from that went the Logos, the speech, the Son of God. He said, now that was not another person. That was God in another form. Called a son. Well, why can't you believe then the eternal life that you have within you today? We're not. I thought if we believed that we were heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And I thought that if he said over there where we read in Philippians that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now here's where you're going to jump and forget. Why can't we believe that by the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our soul, the eternal life we have is equal with God because it is God? Is it another person? No. It's God made manifest in another form.
That's right.
You see, that's why the oneness people, they say that Jesus was the life form of God. If you take a oneness, he's like your finger. Brother Brown will say he's one like your finger. If you really talk to him, and I have, they'll tell you that Jesus was the life form of God. I differ with them totally.
Amen. Right.
I believe I'm looking at the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by looking at the bride of Jesus Christ, I'm seeing God in another form.
Amen.
The life form for the Gentile dispensation is the bride of Jesus Christ. I said Gentile dispensation. Then he goes to the Jews through two witnesses, and they do, and they become the life form. But we are the life form. I thought that we believe that the bride of Jesus Christ were the children of God.
Amen.
I thought even the man in the book of Acts understood that. When he says, Paul, he says, and we are his offspring.
Yep. Amen. Right.
Come on. I thought the bride would be the what? The final voice to the final age, quoting the rest of it, under her messenger. Without her messengers, we ain't bride. Forget it. Junk, garbage. Run on. That's why that, folks, I've got to put everything I got into this message. I can't do like these other guys is doing and got something left over that they can just run off to it. You know, where they corrected this and they've corrected that and they're wrong here. And so-and-so is the one that corrected, so we need to follow so-and-so. Yeah. I thought she was the final voice to the final age under her messenger, which means she is to bring only the word he brought. All right? So that's the final voice, is the word of God through the prophet's message delivered to the saints. All right. Now, I don't ask you to raise a hand to agree with me. I just ask you to consider the thoughts of tonight, because that was what I was aiming at the other day. To consider the thoughts that the man that God wanted before the foundation of the world would be his offspring. Not just a human being, a people. He was made a father when the 126 man, 27 man come into being in him as for what he brought forth. He become a father. Right? He didn't have to wait until he created us in flesh to be father. No. He was already a father. Now, when you deal with healer, savior, you got to wait until the fall comes. How many remembers that message about 5 or 6 weeks ago? That I tried my best to explain that. I said, these things here will take place. They were taking place in heaven. They don't have to have no earthly being to make these manifest. That he was God because the angels worshiped him. He was Father because he brought his being, his children, his offspring into being. We'll call her by another name. Let's call her by another name. We'll get a couple of quotes. Let's call that man or that being. Go ahead with number 8. Oh, excuse me. That's the one we just read. Go ahead with number 9. We just read number 8. Because we're changing courses now just for a little bit. So I would listen very closely. Because we're going to bring out something that maybe you had not considered to fit within this category of where we're at. We were in Christ, the mystery of God revealed a while ago when we were trying to bring out that he had a plan and a purpose and et cetera, that he was going to see it achieved. He was going to have these things. We went through that there's no way to change the fact that he's going to do this. Now look what he says. This is paragraph 107. He has showed or revealed, talking about the mystery, the plan, the purpose, the goal that he had. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. The mystery. The mystery. He showed or revealed in every type that's in the Bible. Watch him. Therefore, the entire Bible is a revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had. One purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. And now, in this last day, he has revealed it and shows it. And by God's help, he said, we'll see it right here this morning, what the Lord has had in his mind all along and has expressed it. All right. And are you with me? Now he's picking up the believers in the Bible. Right? And would not the believers in the Bible be his offspring? Sure. Is that right?
That's right?
The believers in the Bible. Take the names of the believers out, and what have you got? Nothing. There had to be a Paul. There had to be a Peter. There had to be a James. There had to be a John. There had to be a Moses. There had to be a Pharaoh. There had to be Pharaoh for the other side. But what about it now? Do we believe that before the foundation of the world, that he had all of this in that being that he was, and that his offspring was already there with him? May I quote the scripture? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? The morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. I thought Brother Branham explained that as being when they saw the plan of redemption or the plan of salvation coming into view was the reason they were shouting before the world. So you know what? There's just no way for us to remember it. But those with eternal life today, now come on, get me in the right place. Those with eternal life today, not everybody in the world, those with eternal life in their soul today, that eternal life was before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Now if not, then you're the one that's messed up.
That's right.
Amen. When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, when they seen the plan of redemption. Yeah, but that's too close to Mormon doctrine. I know the doctrine, so don't worry about it. I know what they believe. They believe that we're all up in heaven and we all decided we wanted to come to earth where we could make our Father be a great Father and a healer and a Savior and things and all. But if it wasn't but for one thing to show you where they're wrong at, and I'm not picking on doctrine, that's none of my business. But you know, in their doctrine, they believe that the devil had to plan to save everybody. I talked with a man that knew what he's talking about. That the devil had a plan to save everybody. And Jesus had a plan to just save so many. And Father took Jesus' plan over the devil's plan. That would be enough to reject any thoughts of Mormonisms and their thoughts. I'm not. Right. Go find somebody. Talk to them. I spent 8 hours on the line with a man one day. I knew him. He knew me. He knew about me in his mind. I knew him. He said, what are we going to talk about? I said, explain the Mormon doctrine to me. I said, we got 8 hours. Think you can get it done? He said, we'll try. I said, now I'm not going to argue with you, but every once in a while I'm going to say, wait a minute now. Is this what you're saying? You know, I want to make sure that I understand. 8 hours later, I could have took the doctrine of the two soul people of this message and laid it identically in the Mormon doctrine of preexistence. All right. Not trying to be nasty, trying to be right. Because you see, I got to know what I'm talking about. Well, what about this great mystery? What about this point that a prophet would make? That we come from a higher being, that we were there as the eternal life that's within us. Not peoples now, not bodies, not spirits, not souls of anything we're looking at. But not just in God's mind, but to be part of the very God itself. There's His offspring. If it would call you His offspring on earth, how much more would it be there? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. The prophet said, and Jesus told His disciples, that I was with you before the foundation of the world. That you was in the beginning. You can't know it, He said. But you was in the beginning. All right? Then we went into the Acts of the believers down through the ages. Would you not agree at least with the New Testament form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming into our hearts and souls that would make us the offspring of God? If you don't agree with that, then, my Lord, what are you agreeing with? I mean, well, I never, all I want to do is just get my kids saved. That's what a man told me one day. I backed off. Because I wanted to tell him if he'd have lived right and had done right before him, it might have helped what I was trying to do. But I'm not that dirty. I'm not that mean. There's a heart down in this man that beats, that cries at night to try to find a way to express what God has made known by way of a prophet to you and I. What is this great mystery, Brother Branham? Simplify it to us. We can talk about back there. We can talk about down through the ages as being the offspring of God. Simplify it. All right, go ahead with number 9. Excuse me. Yeah, number 9. Nope, no, number 10. You done got number 9. Paragraph 184. Christ the mystery. Look what he says. This is going on the way over into the book. Look what he comes to. He says, predestinated. He said, there's the mystery. What is the mystery of Revelations 10:7? When the days of the voice of the seventh angel begin to sound, the mystery singular. It does not say mysteries there. Read your Bible. It's summed up all with this message in the end time. That's why I believe this message is a headstone Amen. To the church. I believe that. I always have taught it. Yes. I don't mind telling you what I believe. Look, predestinated, there's the mystery. He, before Christ or anything else, was ever on earth. You see His great mystery. That He chose the bride. Now there's an eternal purpose and plan. There's predestinated, which means destiny determined beforehand. I didn't write this. That He chose the bride. Now watch. He knows so much of the truth, He has to put it together for us to understand. Look, knowing Eve would fall. Not just choosing a bride. Not just there's many women down here and I'll choose a bride. Knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word. Knowing that she would fall. But He would choose a bride that would not fall. That would hold to that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. they would hold to that word. They are predestinated to stand there, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, predestinated the church to that great glorious stand. He predestinated a bride. He predestinated offspring. He predestinated his own children. Because there's your seed. There's your seed. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally, right? 154 Church Age book, he said, but it's the seed or word. All right. So it's not me and you looking. What you're looking at. It's not this that you're looking at that is predestinated eternal. We're going to get to it. This is foreknowledge. But yet God before the world knew what we'd look like. We read that to start with, didn't we? That he knew what we'd look like. Listen. Look what he says on, go ahead, number 11. Identification, 64:216, paragraph 58. But see, all that is displaying, showing by type, like the whole Bible. God coming together with a redeemed bride, wife, a bride that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Now, we read to start with that he had in his mind to make man in his image. Are you beginning to catch on to that? That he had in his mind to make man in his own image. He had in his mind to make his offspring, to bring his children into being. Now look what he calls them. He calls them a wife. Because remember, it is. Brother Dick likes this. He's on the internet. He'll scout over in Revelations, 19 or 13, which one? Where it said, and his wife hath made herself ready. It don't say, and his bride. It says his wife hath made herself ready. A bride that God had in his mind for the foundation of the world. Look, that was the attributes of God being displayed. And now to make a character that could redeem this woman, it had to be something greater than her to redeem her. And do you ever notice? So now you know who he's talking about, who he had to make. Okay, one more. What about it? We read in Ephesians, bring up 13 first to 12. Jump one. We read in Ephesians, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Remember, he swore by himself. Yep. Yep. Right? That it what? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. What? That in the dispensation of the fullness, remember the quote we just read, he would choose a bride knowing she would fall. Are you with me? But knowing that he would predestinate a people that would not fall. That's why they without us cannot be made perfect. That's what he's talking about. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time. In other words, the end of times. Somebody's going to realize what's going on. In whom also we have obtained what? An inheritance. Remember, Jesus never gave us an inheritance. He only come to deliver the inheritance to us. He never gave us an inheritance. That's Brother Branham. Come on. Our inheritance was eternal life before the foundation of the world. I'm quoting Brother Branham. All right. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. What? Being predestinated. Determined before the world ever begun that there'd be a group of people in the end time that would not, may I quote it from, I'm looking at the book and I can't get the name, where he said that she won't fall like Eve fell. God of this evil age, I guess, is, no, that's not it. It's a green book. Okay, forget it. I'll get the quote. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Go back and read. Will. How much? I told you when I started that we would not read anywhere else but Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. I mean, you remember that? Why? Because within that is the fall, the before the world, the coming into the world, the fall of mankind, and the regeneration of mankind is in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. I don't even have to go anywhere else in the Bible. But think about it. Now watch this last part. Go ahead with number 12. This is from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Paragraph 5, 14 through 16. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Is that right? Congregation says amen. Watch. Then what is he? He is the head of the body, which is his church, bride. Uh-huh. Then the bride body must follow the head. For it is part of his resurrection and might have a little bit to do with his ministry some way in there, you know, could maybe something. What did he say? She's part of his resurrection and she's part of his mystery. It's impossible for it not to go. Oh my. It's part of God's mystery. How God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word. So he reveals his church and raises it up by the same word. It is a part of his threefold mystery. You mean to say that you and I are a part of God's mystery? Part of a threefold mystery? I thought, according to Christ, the mystery God revealed, that the threefold mystery was what? All God was, he poured into Christ.
That's right.
All Christ, he pours into the church. I thought Brother Branham said, do you want these? That the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the last days.
Amen.
Of course, that was quoted to a big man in this message. You know what he said? Hogwash. Well, he can hog all his wash he wants to. I don't care.
Amen.
I didn't say it. Brother Branham did.
Amen.
In other words, he was laughing and making fun of Brother Branham. That's his own business. Because that's what he done. He said hogwash. Of course, the same man said it this way. He said the third pull was for Brother Branham and Jesus Christ and not for nobody else. Now, may I quote Brother Branham? I thought Brother Branham said the third pull was for the bride and the church and to the totally lost. He even said the third pull is to the church. Now, you know he ain't talking about bride there. Come on. But do you see what I'm talking about? See, unveiling of God is great. You ever notice Brother Branham preached that? And read the message and listen to it very carefully. The unveiling of God. And he brought him down and unveiled him on earth. But go to a message called The Mighty God Unveiled. And listen to that one. He brings it right down to the church. She's part of the mystery and got to be revealed. What am I trying to do, brother? What are you trying to do, brother? I'm trying to reveal you. Now get upset with me and all, and just get all heady patter in your minds and things. Well, boy, he's just so deep he can't understand. We can't follow him. What's more simple than for me talking about you? You see, that's why I don't make light of nobody. I don't make no fun of nobody that ever turns against me. I don't doom nobody. I don't say, well, they ought to not. Hey, boy, the rest got to win with me. No. because, see, I want to see everybody there. I know and realize it won't happen. But still, what's the problem? Why can't somebody differ with you a little bit and you not get so upset and mad? Like I told you about a man leaving a church because they asked him to take up an offering. And he was a preacher in that church. And he said, a preacher's not supposed to take up an offering. And he left the church. You go around and check all these little doctrines that people leave churches about. You didn't ever hear Brother Branham talk like that. He always had open arms for everybody. Because he said that's between you and God. He never throwed off on nobody. He always spoke well of his enemies. Like they said, Billy Paul, I believe, was the one that said it. One of them did. Said you couldn't tell the difference in Brother Brown's enemies and his friends. Well, it's like I've said. How would it be that I'm over here throwing off on Brother Collie and I'm really lambasting him and I'm just calling his name and I'm rubbing him over the pin. And he wouldn't be here tonight, but he'd be at home on his knees praying and saying, God help that man. He don't mean it. Just help him. Now, which one's God going to hear? Me. Put your little feelings in the seat end of your britches and sit down on them. But follow the word of God. That's all I've preached for 40-something years is the bride of Jesus Christ. To be the end-time people. The end of all things. Let's stand.
That's right.
The end of all things would finish up with a little group of people called a bride. Amen. Are we his offspring? Are we his bride? You need another part? Are we his body?
Amen.
What are we? What about it? Can you see God's plan and purpose? Because see, next we're going to start towards the earth now. But before we leave it, can you see his plan and purpose? Was to share his eternal life with his children. That he was going to bring his children into being. Now listen, not to just stay some angel form or some floating around, or listen, not even to stay as a theophany. He wanted us in flesh.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He wanted us in flesh. That's his goal and that's his doing. All I want to do is be what he wants me to be.
Yep.
What do you think about it? What we got?
119, the red book.
119, the red book. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. To share his eternal life with his own children. To share all the glories of heaven and all the mighty things to share it with his people. He's proud of his people. He's proud to be associated with them. Go ahead, Ruth.
Blessed assurance.
What about
Jesus
your God, your Savior? What about you?
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation.
righteous of God,
born of His Spirit,
washed in His blood. Our brother's going for an operation Friday. So let's just pray and believe it'll be all right. Lord Jesus, You just come on the scene now and manifest Yourself. And we believe in the doctors. We thank You for them. And may their hands be protected and guided as to everything be perfect and pure. Because we believe You and we thank You. We love You. In Jesus is Your name. Anybody else?
Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rest.
Father, we lay our hands upon our brother. We believe Your word that by Your stripes, his eyesight, Lord, because he can't see good at night and the rain and things, and You just make it to be right. In Jesus' name.
This is my story.
Yep.
Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
Our sister's going for an operation Monday. And we pray that all will be well, all will be made right, everything to be done for Your honor and glory. We love You, and we thank You. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting.
Father, You know our brother. You know his desire that he wants all well, hard work, and everything. And we just ask You to be with him, that he's ready, like he said, to have the right attitude. But then, Lord, we turn it back on the other side to the man that's doing the things. And we say, Lord, You just some way move the man out of the way in another position or whatever it takes. We don't want no harm to happen to the man. All we want to do is everything to be right. So we believe You. And we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Anybody else just have a need?
Jesus is my.
I hope you understand what I'm trying to do. To get you to see who you are. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. Believe it. Believe that within you is eternal life. The very eternal life that created the world. Prophet said if it wasn't for the fact that God had a bar to keep it from, He said we'd even create a world and go live on it.
This is my story.
Don't doubt the Lord made us.
This is my song. Praising my Savior. Oh. Praising my Savior.
brother. We believe you. Thank you for it. Be it unto him according to thy word. Our brother believes that you'll just take care of that. It won't even have to be an operation. We believe you, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Visions of rapture have burst on my sight.
Anybody else?
Angels descend. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
You heard our sister. You know what she's asking for. So we send these prayer calls. To believe it, Lord, and thank you. Let all be made on for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Praising my Savior.
Don't you think it's about time that we start believing who we are and what we're here for? That's why I said about Brother Third Wednesday night, a positive attitude. A positive attitude. Brother Branham said even a right mental attitude toward a promise will bring it to pass. Let alone the fact of it being revealed to us. Thanking God for it. Yeah. Just believe that and thank God. Moving jobs and things, and Lord, just be with him and let him leave an attitude and a way there with him that'll be a testimony about Jesus Christ, that they can see it and realize realization, and then make him to where that when he goes into the new position, that Father, that you'll take care of everything and you'll make it all work for your honor and glory, and he'll always be a shining light for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anybody else?
My Savior, all the hail. This is my story, and this is my song. Praising my Savior, all the day.
Father, we thank you for this day and the hour that we've had and what we've tried to say tonight. We pray that it would be received as coming from you, Lord, and to think about your word. Because it was yours that we thought about and wondered about all of the things and looking at the things the prophet had said. But now they're gradually coming into plain view as to where we can see within our own selves and look around and see that it's unfolding itself down to where we are now. That we are the bride of Jesus Christ, that we must stand forth and believe the word and accept what you said about us and walk in the light of your grace and love. We love you. Be with everybody on the way home. Take care of everybody. Let this old weather clear out and the wind, the storms, and the things they said was coming. Just let it all clear out. Let your grace be sufficient. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
In moment.